The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit, track budgets, and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
You're listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show, The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
It is going to be just watching ESPN right now. It's going to be a super sweet series, the Nets and Bucks. Holy crap. And we will get, you know what, when they do play, we're going to get five-star in here. We're going to get five-star in here right now. Listen, we usually give you some advance notice, but if you miss anything, we will tweet it out what five-star likes this weekend in the NCAA tournament. He is joining us now because we've got Daniel Ewing going to join us at the bottom of the hour, so that's usually reserved for five-star, but right now, five-star is joining us here. What up, five-star?
Hey, good morning, fellas. How you guys doing?
Man, we're doing great. Now, this is... I mean, I tell you what, I don't know which way to go on this one. This is a tough one. I like Kansas. I just don't know which way the North Carolina and Duke game is going to go. Do you?
If you want to start with North Carolina and Duke first, I'd say, man, we got to go with the over 151. This is the diamond that the world wanted, John, the greatest rivalry in the history of the sport on the big stage for the first time. They've met 258 times since 1920. And we get the first time in the Final Four right here in 2022. And to top that, North Carolina, as you guys know, ruined Coach K's last game with Cameron Indoor, upsetting the Blue Belt Devils as a 9-point dog. And at that game, Mataro's turned the corner in the season. All the All-Americans and transfers that Hubert Davis had, they finally start coming together. And through the tournament, they continue to get better and better and more cohesive. To add a little more fire to the flame, Duke assistant coach Chris Carwell, as you guys know, he snubbed Hubert Davis in the handshake line the last matchup. So we have a Duke team with at least three first-round NBA draft picks in their starting five. They got chips on their shoulders about the UNC embarrassing them in Coach K's home finale. You have Tar Heels with all these stars like Love, Manic, and Faircott, underrated R.J. Davis. They're all ticked because Duke's coach snubbed their coach. On top of this, they're in the Final Four. Tobacco Road, 5 minutes away. They're ranked, hating each other. This game is going to be an all-timer. So all I'm going to do is just sit back and watch it. It's going to go over 151. The last six matches between these two teams blew over 151 by an average of 20 points, guys. This rivalry brings the best out of these great players. Both teams play NBA style, so the shot clock is rarely needed. The over is 7-1 in the Blue Devils' last eight games following a straight up win. It's 8-2 in the Blue Devils' last 10 games overall. Their last 10 is a favorite as well. And the over is 6-0 in the Tar Heels' last six versus the team with the winning straight up record. They've averaged 172 points between the two in the last six matchups. So we're going to just get our popcorn, enjoy this great one, and go over 151 on the Duke of North Carolina.
Okay.
Is there a player, just real quick, is there one player that you like to go over the total since a lot of people get individual prop bets?
On UNC and Duke?
Yeah, Duke, UNC. It could just be, you don't have to have the numbers in front of you. Is there one player you expect to have the biggest day out of those two teams?
RJ, I'm sure that RJ Davis is going to have a good number from the books. I haven't looked at the player props, but I'm pretty sure that he'll go over the number that they have. They'll probably have, I'm guessing, at a 9 or 10-point game or something like that. I expect to score about 15 to 20.
All right. Okay, so we got the over in the Duke-North Carolina game. What do we got with Kansas and Nova?
We're going with Kansas minus four, man. This is a rematch of the 2018 Final Four semifinals. Only one player from that current the current Kansas squad was a member of that team. But I believe that Bill Self is really going to remember because Nova embarrassed Kansas the last time they played each other. The Jayhawks are catching Villanova at the right time. Wildcats stand out small forward Justin Moore tore his right Achilles in the final minutes of his team's victory over our Houston Cougars. Moore, in my opinion, is the most important player on the Wildcats team, guys. He averages the most minutes per game. His versatility on the offensive and defensive side allows Coach Jay Wright to play small and still defend. He's the best penetrator on the team of jump shooters, and he was also Villanova's second-leading scorer and second on the team in rebounding. He plays a lot bigger than the 6'4 height, and overall is probably the only future pro that's in that starting lineup for Villanova. He definitely was the most heralded recruit Jay Wright had coming to Villanova recently. I don't believe the books are accounting for his true worth. Villanova is already undersized up front. I expect a very talented and long Kansas front court to dominate the glass, guys. Watch for David McCormick to have a huge game on the pick and roll and also on the offensive glass. Jalen Wilson for the Jayhawks is a hybrid power forward with great instincts and strength. I expect him to cause a lot of havoc. And then there's the outstanding Oche Agbaji, easily the best player on the court. He's a young Ray Allen. If Villanova was loaded fully, I would still like Kansas. But with the injury to Moore, he's one of the Wildcats' leaders and most integral players, man. Jay Wright's already working with a short bench and now becomes almost non-existent. I look forward for Villanova to be in serious style trouble late, guys. And I just don't see how they match up with the power side or the burst of Kansas. And unlike the rare mistake that Coach Sampson made last week by not running against Nova, expect Bill Self to encourage his guards to push the pace, and also expect the big men for Kansas to run the court and do some quick post-ups. Take Kansas minus four over a solid but undermanned Villanova squad.
Okay. You don't often take favorites, so you must like them, especially given four here. I like them, too. I like Kansas in this one. And the over in the North Carolina-Duke game. That's what we got. All right, and then we're going to have
They're not accounting for Moore, man. They're not accounting for Justin Moore.
No, I know. I've been saying it.
Yeah.
That's a big loss.
Justin Moore is important.
They only played six guys against the Cougs. And so
That's all they play.
So now they're down to five. And so that you ain't beating Kansas with five guys. You just ain't. And whether I don't know if Jay Wright's got some magic on that bench somewhere, but if he did, why hasn't he been playing him before? So that's a problem. So I agree. That Justin Moore injury at the end of that game was huge, huge for the Villanova's chances. We'll see. Minus four and over 151. That's Five Star in Vegas joining us here and just winning you money all season. If you'd have, I don't know, Five Star, if we put all of your picks out, every single pick out there that you've given us over this year plus or whatever it's been, I think you people would have made a lot. There would have been a lot of units won.
It's been a good run.
It's been a great run.
It's been a good run, yeah.
It's been a great run.
I think the total unit run is about plus 19, if I'm not mistaken, since I've been on the show.
Plus 19 units, people. That's a lot.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot. That's making really money. If you'd have picked every single game that he gave you, that's a lot of money. So jump on with Five Star. At Five Star in Vegas, at Five Star. Spell it out. Five Star in Vegas. Hey, Five Star, we appreciate it, man.
Thanks, guys. I'll try to talk to you guys again Monday for the national championship with a pick. We'll see if you have enough time.
Boom.
Yeah, there you go. No, we need it. Thanks, we need a pick. We need a pick. There's no question about it. All right. 713-780-3776 if you want to get in here. Just about 17 minutes from Daniel Ewing to talk about the big game, that North Carolina-Duke game. The biggest college basketball game that I can remember in quite a while. I don't remember a bigger game than this one. With Coach K's career on the line, Final Four, North Carolina-Duke. I mean, it just doesn't get any bigger than this. Taking a break, 713-780-3776.
ESPN 97.5. Welcome.
Welcome back to The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, 918, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Lance, article today, Todd McShay and Scouts, Inc. put players in categories. Tier 1, Tier 2, Tier 3, Tier 4.
Mm-hmm.
They have nobody in Tier 1. They don't have, there's no Trevor Lawrence.
I don't either. Tier 1 for me is a 7.0 player, and I have zero 7.0 players. Oh. I'm totally with them.
What's the highest grade you've given somebody, Andrew Luck?
I didn't do Luck back then. I came in 2015, and our scouting and our grades have changed. But the highest grade I would have given, my three highest grades were Myles Garrett, Chase Young, and I think Trevor Lawrence.
Okay,
I think those are my three highest.
Okay,
Saquon Barkley was pretty high too.
Yeah,
I was very high on Saquon Barkley and Quentin Nelson,
Bosa.
No, I was a little lower on Bosa. Like, I still had a good grade on Bosa. I still had him as a 7-0 player. I would have in the – so that's still a Tier 1.
Yeah.
That was a great draft.
Yeah.
Bosa, Ezekiel Elliott, that was a fantastic draft. The 16 draft, that was a really good draft.
So they have 9 prospects, and you've already seen this.
I glanced at it. I didn't really dig in.
Aiden Hutchinson, 1. Icky, then Evan Neal, Kyle Hamilton, Sauce – Garrett Wilson, Kayvon Thibodeau. They've got Trayvon Walker, 8th, and Drake London.
Yeah, 9th. See, I've got fewer.
You wouldn't have Drake London up there.
No. I've got him. No. I've got him. I got a second round grade on him. Everyone else,
Second round grade.
Yeah, wow. I don't see it to the same level with Garrett Wilson. And to me, Garrett Wilson in most years is a wide receiver in the 20s, maybe. And I think for me, Drake London is more of like a Michael Pittman type. Although Michael Pittman's a better athlete. Michael Pittman was drafted in the second round. I don't get what people see. I get that he's a great ball winner. He's 6'4". They list him at 6'0", 3'7", I think, but he feels like he's 6'5". He's huge, great ball winner. He's not going to get open and separate. He's a possession receiver. I don't understand this talk about him being a top 10 pick. I don't get it at all. But I was also down on Trayvon Walker, and I think Trayvon Walker has a chance to be a really good player, and I'm starting to see some of the flashes others are with his rush potential. But I still see his pass rush needing a lot of work before I'm ready to call him a top three type of player.
The next tier, they have Jermaine Johnson, the second, the defensive end out of Florida State, who looked great at his workouts.
Senior Bowl and Senior Bowl. Yeah.
Derek Stingley Jr., Nakobe Dean. You know what? He doesn't get a lot of talk.
Yeah, I'm more like the third tier of the draft. I'm more like late first to early second.
For Nakobe.
So he's doing something kind of, to me, everyone's saying, so he didn't run at the combine, then he didn't run at the pro day. So people are saying, well, is he trying to hide his speed? That's not what he's doing. He's fast. You know he's fast. What he's trying to do here is he's trying to hide his weight. Because now at the combine, they make you weigh in. It used to be you weighed in one day, and then you worked out the next day. So guys would do what boxers would do. Like, you know, you could basically water up and get to a certain weight, and then you could drop your weight, you know, and run. So you faked how big you were. So now you have to do it on the same day. And agents don't like this. Well, I love it because it gives you a real size. So Nakobe Dean was like 229, which I would have guessed that he played in the neighborhood of 219, 220. He was 229 at the combine, did not run, and he would have run fast. Then in his pro day, he was 231 and didn't run. What I think is happening is he doesn't want to run with excess weight.
Yeah.
My guess is he's trying to pump up at least 8 pounds heavier than he actually is. That's my guess why he's not working out. And I don't think he's going to full teams. He's under 6 feet tall. He runs into blocks too often. Like he's
a maniac on the field, though.
But he can run. But so is everybody. He plays with Devontae Wyatt and Jordan Davis in front of him. He plays with Quay Walker and Channing Tindall often will come in to the side of him. He's got Lewis Seen, who's number 16, a safety, who runs in like a freight train and hits anything that moves. Like, that dude's playing with unbelievable talent.
Yeah.
And one of their better players, a guy named Adam Anderson, he's arrested for rape. He was allowed to work out at his pro day. Or he had his own pro day that teams went to. And that guy would have been probably a second-round pick had all that not happened. He will not be drafted now, but I'm not telling you he won't be an NFL player because this stuff may go away. But once he got one rape charge, another one came out from the year prior. So now he has two charges, but the judge allowed him to work out, because if he's found not guilty, or if they drop charges, like,
yeah,
you know, I can understand it. It's a bad look, though. I don't think any teams want to touch it. But I'm just telling you, there's another player who did play for a portion of the season on Georgia who was a second-round type talent.
Devin Lloyd out of Utah. Trent McDuffie, Charles Cross. These are some names that you've heard. The offensive tackle from Mississippi State. Jordan Davis, the defensive tackle from Georgia. Chris Olave, Tyler Linderbaum. Jameson Williams. Jameson Williams is interesting. If he's sitting there in the second for the Texans,
100% take him.
Take him.
As long as you're good with the personality, the kid, the person. Do your background. Does he have any issues that you need to know? You know, he's a one-year wonder. He came from Ohio State. He couldn't get playing time at Ohio State. He did, but he struggled to find full-time reps. So you got to go ask. So with Bill O'Brien and Easterby, my guess is they didn't do as much of this work because they didn't do the work they needed to on Kahale Warren. I know that for a fact from talking to them. They didn't know Kahale had some learning issues. They didn't know that. And every team knew that. Every team told me that. I talked to him. It's one of the reasons he fell. And it ended up biting the Houston Texans. Well, I wonder if they are going into Ohio State and talking to people about Jameson Williams. Because you need to go find out, what kind of guy was he for you? What kind of worker was he? Why couldn't he get any playing time?
Right.
Or why did he get such limited playing time? I mean, those are talented wide receivers. But you saw Jameson Williams. I don't know that I'm ready to say Garrett Wilson or Olave are more talented or more explosive than Jameson Williams.
No.
Jameson Williams had 11 touchdowns of 30 or more yards this year. 11. That's incredible. You know who my comp on him is? You'll recognize the name.
Your comp on him?
Tall, slender, fast.
Who?
Explosive down the field. Will Fuller.
Oh.
Linear, can run past people, makes a lot of big explosive plays down the field. Not really a guy that's going to make a lot of contested catches because he's not the strongest guy.
Drops a lot of balls?
Has some drops, yeah. Does have some drops. Not as many as Will Fuller had.
No, Will Fuller had, what, 10 at Notre Dame? Senior?
And he had a ton.
His last year?
And it was some really bad ones.
Man, there are some good names that are going to be sitting there for the Texans.
It's a good draft.
Devontae Wyatt, as you mentioned. Would you take Daxton Hill there?
I'd consider it. I've got Daxton as more of a second, but what Mel said.
That's what I'm saying, is a second.
Sure I'd consider him because he can play slot corner. He can maybe play corner or safety. So
Mel was high on him.
Absolutely. Mel loves him. I like him. I don't know about his toughness as a full-time run defender, and I don't know that he plays. He's definitely fast enough. But, yeah, Daxton Hill is a good one, but I like Jaquan Brisker a little better. From Penn State. He's a true safety. Come up and hit you in the mouth, make your mouth bleed type safety.
You like that?
I like safeties that make your mouth
bleed. Safeties that make your mouth bleed.
That can cover.
Okay. And you like guys that spit in your mouth, too.
I don't like that.
No, you did. I remember
I said I wanted to spit
in his
Sean McVay's face because of his hot Russian girlfriend or wife. What are they?
Girlfriend.
Still girlfriend?
I don't think you're alone and wanting to spit in Sean McVay's mouth.
Look at him holding out.
Yeah.
You see what he's doing? Like,
maybe I'll get better. I don't know.
I don't know if he's going to get better. I just think it's just I'm going to hold out on this
maybe
contract.
Maybe she's Jared Goff.
Here's what he wants to do.
A Matthew
Stafford. I want to work without a contract on this one. That's what he wants. He does not want to get a long-term contract.
No. No. All right, we're going to get Daniel Ewing on the other side right here on ESPN, 97.5 and 92.5. Don't you go anywhere. But first, don't you do your own payroll. Please, stop. What are you doing? Why are you doing this? Stop already. I mean, I don't know how many employees you have, but if you have 15 to 800,000 employees, I don't think you're going to go more than 800,000 employees. I don't know. Maybe they will. But I think you could open up your own business just for 800,000 employees. I think that you, if you have over 15 employees, that you should go with HR&P. And if you're with your payroll company now and you are not completely satisfied, is there anything that they don't do well? Have you had any issues with that, getting the payroll to your people? As the cost maybe a little bit more than you want? Are they forcing you to take their 401k package or their insurance package? Don't do that, because they're making a lot of money off of you with that. Are they not taking care of your Affordable Care Act? Are they not taking care of your taxes come tax time? And this is the time you're finding out about these people. How good are they at this tax thing? How good are they at the Affordable Care Act? All of these things are telling you, if you're not completely satisfied, to go with our company, HR&P. We love them. We have loved them. We will continue to love them. They are going to be our payroll company forever. HRP.net, 281-880-6525 or HRP.net.
ESPN 97.5. Listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show, The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. How about local legend Daniel Ewing, Willow Ridge High, Duke. He played there under Coach K, and went on to the Clippers and then a European and foreign career up until just a couple of years ago. Joining us now to talk about this huge, huge game. And I don't remember a bigger college basketball game in some time. Daniel Ewing here on ESPN 97.5. Daniel, welcome back to the show. How are you?
Thank you guys for having me.
Man, we appreciate it. As a Duke guy, as we're on the eve of this basketball game, first of all, I had no idea that North Carolina Duke had never met in the NCAA tournament. So that's number one. How big is that? But to be in the Final Four with Coach K retiring after either Saturday or Monday, Daniel, you've been part of this North Carolina Duke rivalry. Has it been any bigger than this?
Absolutely not. Like, out of all the classic North Carolina Duke games you witnessed or watched on TV throughout the years, over the tradition, over the history, this is the biggest game by far between these two schools.
Now, you were just there for Coach K's last game at Duke, and you saw North Carolina dismantle him. Was that a little disheartening?
It was, because it was, you know, we were all hoping for, you know, a better outcome and big day celebrating Coach in his last home game. But I think that's what's going to make this game tomorrow, you know, the opportunity for it to be, you know, such a epic opportunity for both teams.
Oh,
the stage is set, you know, for it to be for something great to happen tomorrow.
What's it like playing in that game, playing North Carolina?
It's one of the highest moments of, you know, your college career, whether you're at either school, you know, both. I think as a Duke player, you go to Duke to play in that game, and vice versa. As a Carolina player, you go to Carolina to play in that game. So, for the most part, it you know, when both teams meet, regardless of how good they are, if they're ranked or not ranked, for the most part, you know, that game lives up to the hype, and is a great game most of the time.
What I like about it is the intensity. I mean, over the years, there is an intensity that matches to me, you know, Texas and Oklahoma, South Carolina and Clemson. Like, there's a certain level of intensity, Auburn, Alabama, on the bat. It's one of the few basketball rivalries to me that matches the same level of intensity that we see with a lot of the football rivalries. You're from the state of Texas, so you know all about, you know, the football intensity, even though you're at a basketball school in Duke. But do you sense that at all? Do you feel like it has that? Do you think that's accurate?
Absolutely. Like I said, I think regardless of sport, I think it's the, you know, and of course I'm biased towards it, but I think it's the best rivalry in all of sports. You know, you stretch it throughout the years and history and tradition. If it's not the best, it's definitely up there with, you know, top three, in my opinion.
Daniel Ewing with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92. Did you always look down on North Carolina? I mean, you were at Duke, right? It's a better school. You had, you know, Coach K. You had all that stuff. Of course, North Carolina had prettier women. But did you always did you look down at North Carolina? How did you build up that hatred for them?
Actually, I it wasn't a hatred for me. Like, just the way things developed for me growing up. I never was really a Carolina fan, and it had nothing to do with me, like, really liking Duke. But I just never really gravitated towards any of the, you know, Carolina teams growing up. And I can't admit, though, that one of the most exciting teams, and I do remember this team, that I watched Carolina in my years growing up was the team with Ed Cota. I think it was Ed Cota, Shamon Williams, Vince Carter, Antoine Jameson. Like, that team that team was exciting to watch. But outside of that, you know, I can't think of any other team that I really paid attention to growing up as, you know, as a college basketball fan in Carolina.
What made you go to Duke over everybody else?
Why not? Like you said, one of the best academic schools, one of the best basketball programs, history, tradition. You got Coach K there leading the charge. Like I said, for me, I fell in love with the school early on in the early 90s, and, you know, after the early championship years, 91 and 92. Like I said, I wanted to be a part of that. I wanted to be a part of a winning tradition. I had that in high school. I played with good players in high school, so I wanted that to continue at the college level.
So, Daniel, John was – you might as well ask this, John, because I was looking, and it's like, well, let's see. Daniel Ewing is 39 now. Reggie Love is 40. Go ahead and ask your Reggie Love question.
So, do you want this – does anybody want to beat North Carolina more than Reggie Love with what happened to him at that party?
Wow.
Can you believe that?
Like I said, anytime we lace them up, whether we playing Carolina or not, you know, we playing to win. So it just so happened Carolina is the team on the opposite side of this game tomorrow night. But we're playing to be in another national championship. Now, I don't know how Carolina is approaching it, but we're playing to win the game and play for national championship. Now they might just be playing to beat Duke, which. It's the difference between us and them.
Yeah, well, Baycott better not come over to a fraternity party at Duke. That's all I'm saying.
No.
And don't fall asleep
at a party.
Don't do that.
Don't. No.
That's a lesson learned early on. I remember that. Ooh.
Ooh.
Don't do that.
Reggie, don't fall asleep.
Hey, I am, you know, this has been a, how did you process the last game being the loss at home to Carolina? Because that was, you know, it is amazing that Duke has bounced back the way that they have in the postseason. And, you know, it looks like they haven't seen any ill effects, although North Carolina clearly used that as one of their springboards. But how tough was that to see that final home game, you know, end up that way?
It was disappointing. Like I said, it was disappointing.
Were you there, by the way?
Yeah. I was there. I was present. So, yeah, it was disappointing. Like, it was a great turnout of a lot of former players getting back to, you know, to try to make that day special. For coach, and you know, obviously the Cramming Crazies was, you know, did their job and was present, and you know, and created a great atmosphere and the rest of the fans as well. Like I said, I think like Carolina used that to propel them to where they're at now in the postseason, and I think that was a great learning lesson for our young guys as well, because they had never experienced anything like that, any event like that. You know, none of those guys have been in any of those type of situations, so. I think we're much better prepared for that now, and I think it's also helped them lock in and focus to why they've been able to play the way they've been playing to get to the Final Four.
Well, and what's funny is earlier in the year at North Carolina, Duke won by 20.
Right.
So, I mean, so it's not like – but the taste that everybody has in their mouth is what that last game and Coach K's last game. I just thought that there would be too much pressure. Daniel, did you feel the pressure that was on this team – you know, having to go through this with Coach K for the last time with Coach K and wanting to win so bad for him? All of you guys were there at that. Do you think how much I'm surprised that they've been able to handle it the way that they have so far in the tournament. Is this going to be too much like it was too much that last game at Cameron Indoor?
I think the last game, the last home game, I think it was maybe a little too much for him. Like I said, those guys being mostly freshmen, young guys. They don't have anyone on the team who's been through situations like this, you know, pressure situations where, you know, anything of that magnitude at the time. So now we got that out the way. I think now they're better for this situation coming up tomorrow night because, you know, they have some experience under their belt about, you know, the higher expectations, the extra media coverage, you know, the extra hoopla and all that. So, yeah, I think that game, it might have been a little bit too much with, you know, with everything going on, media attention, probably extra media attention, you know, all the people asking the questions, you know, about, you know, making sure they win the game for Coach K in his last home game. So I think it might have been a lot of too much. And then, like you said, we did smack them up the first time we played them. So those guys being young, I think they might have went into that game thinking that, all right, yeah, like, we already took care of these guys even the first time. It's, you know, it's going to be pretty similar the way this goes the second time. I think they kind of took them for granted as well.
Who's going to have a bigger game? Which big man's going to have a bigger game, Baycott or Williams? Is Williams going to be able to stop Baycott?
It's going to be key. That's going to be a key factor of the game. If we can control Baycott, we can't allow him to have a monster game at all. But I think, like I said, I think with the way all the guys have been playing, we haven't relied on, like in the previous, early in the year, we was kind of just relying on Paolo to kind of be the savior. I think everybody has stepped up in the postseason and has made major contributions each and every game up until this point. So if we keep that up, we got a great shot of winning this game.
Yep.
That's formerly of the Ridge.
That's right.
Proud member of the Ridge. Willie Ridge's own.
Great teams.
Daniel Ewing, some unbelievable teams. And former Duke guard Daniel Ewing is our guest right now. Before we let you go, I'm kind of curious about the way that college basketball is played. You know, it's been interesting watching college football develop into a completely different type of sport than what we saw in pro football. And then pro has slowly picked up some of the same elements of college football. And yet college basketball still has, you know, we still see post play. We still see some guys post up, back cuts. I don't know. The college game still has some old school elements to it, as opposed to the pro game, which has turned into just really a ton of three-point shooting. Does that, as a former player, does that surprise you that college has not gone in more of the way of the pro game in terms of just volume threes with less post play?
I wouldn't say. No, it hasn't, actually. I think maybe. No, it hasn't. You know, and that's what made college basketball so attractive over the years. That there was a noticeable difference between college and NBA games. You know, you have the two halves instead of the four quarters. You know, you have the lone shot clock. So yeah, I mean, I like the fact that, some teams, the more elite teams, you know, they have adapted to some of the pro style play, which is obvious, you know, with guys being better, it's more skilled nowadays. But I think it's good that college basketball still has their own unique identity of play, you know, of running plays and having to execute offensive sets, you know. And, yes, and feeding the post, you know, here and there, especially if you have a post player who can play. Yeah, let them, you know. I think the NBA should get back to, you know, some of that, some more of that. Yeah, it's cool to see all the threes flying, you know, guys shooting threes. But I think the NBA, for the most part, most of those teams need to you know, every team can't play like that in the NBA. It's only a handful of teams that really have the personnel to just run a gun and, you know, have enough guys that really can shoot the ball well enough to put up 43s a game.
RJ's got our producer has a question for you. RJ?
Yeah, Mr. Ewing, I wanted to know whether or not 2006, that series that you guys had against Phoenix, I mean, you guys were on a roll after beating Denver in the first round, and I think the presumption was that you guys could beat Phoenix in that series. Unfortunately, you guys lost. And talking to guys like Clipper Darrell and even Vinny Del Negro, they say that still eats away at them. So I wanted to know from you, does that series still eat away at you guys? Did you guys think that you could make it deeper into the playoffs?
Oh, most definitely. Yes, definitely. That was we should have won that series. Phoenix was a great team. Steve Nash, you know, and those guys, Stoudemire, Steve Nash, coming off, you know, again, MVP. A great team, but I think we playoffs is about matchups. I think we matched them well. And we had them on the ropes. You know, if we win that game, what is it, game five, I believe, going back to L.A. up 3-2, like, who knows what happened. That's one that got away from us, especially considering how they ended up winning that game. It was a tough loss.
Dredging back some old bad memories. Job, RJ.
You started with Reggie Love.
John. No, I didn't start anything with Reggie Love. I just wanted to know, if you should fall asleep at a North Carolina frat party. I don't think so. That's all I'm saying.
I wasn't trying to.
But you were just trying to bring up bad Clipper memories.
I remember the series, okay. And I thought after they beat Denver in the first round, I'm like, I think this team may make the Western Conference Finals.
Okay, that's great. Making Daniel Viewing feel terrible. Daniel, we appreciate you, man. Thanks for joining us once again. Enjoy. Are you going to New Orleans?
No, I'm not going to be able to make it, man, but I'll be tuned in for sure.
Okay. Well, we appreciate you hanging with us. Thanks, Daniel Ewing. Once again, right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Right now, though, Lance, you, my friend, got to talk about your patio.
Texas Custom Patio. They came over yesterday. RJ and – not that RJ, different RJ. RJ and Stephen Schell, the owner. And, he's been spending time between Dallas and Houston. His Dallas spot is blowing up. It's huge. And one of the things he wants to make sure he does is he said, look, with business going crazy, we want to make sure that we're fully staffed so that our level of service and our level of quality never dips below our highest standards. And that's going to be the case. I'm having a kitchen put out there, an outdoor kitchen into the patio. And I wish I would have done it right up front because I've had my patio now for 5.5 years. I wish I would have done it at first because the thing is they can finance you. And you can get exactly what you're looking for. You want to get 3 TVs out there. You want to get a bigger sound system. You want to have a, extend through your home. Also, you want to do a room extension included into your outdoor living extension. There's so many things that they can do. They build standalone pool houses. But the outdoor living space with the outdoor kitchen is something that truly is going to add a level of enjoyment. My kids were out watching shows yesterday, eating out on the patio while I was inside getting some work done. It's just a great place to entertain, a great place to enjoy yourself, especially when the weather's as good as it has been lately. It's a place that you really are going to enjoy having your own special place, no matter how you want to use it. So turn that house into a home and rest assured you're going to get every single dollar you put into it. You're going to get it back out when you sell the home because it's such a big differentiator when it comes to selling your home. TexasCustomPatios.com, TexasCustomPatios.com.
Get low when the whistle goes.
Real fun. Get low when the whistle goes. Sports. ESPN 97.5.
We're not that good.
Isn't it weird?
This is so weird.
Time now for News of the Weird on the Bench.
Boy, what the hell's wrong with you?
Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. A quick segment here of News of the Weird. First off, I want to tell you, go to Damaris Barbecue and watch your games and get the Greek wings, okay? This is where you watch your games this weekend. Watch Coach K Saturday night. That game, they'll be open for the whole game. You eat your Greek wings. You get the fries. Make sure you get them crispy. Get your Greek wings crispy. I'm telling you, perfect. RJ, this is your first week in the books. How was your first week?
I mean, I enjoyed it.
You did?
But, as time goes on, we'll see if you guys hate me or not. I'm still trying to feel it out.
Oh, you're just feeling it out right now?
No.
Didn't you move here?
Like a boxing.
See if you guys are, going to be like, you know what? We really don't like this guy.
Didn't you move here?
There's no more feeling out, period.
The whole Lakers and Dodgers jersey.
Well, they suck.
You're wearing a Harden jersey, which I can't tell if this is a troll job or not. Honestly.
I told you this morning, it's I come in peace.
But that's a Harden jersey. That's what I'm saying. That's kind of.
Yeah, Harden's like a shot to. Okay? This is not. Okay.
We'll like Harden if he. Well, he's not with the Nets anymore, so it doesn't even matter. Harden's irrelevant now.
Go get a KPJ 3 jersey.
No, okay? That may be gone. Get a Jalen Green jersey.
He'll be gone too. But no, they're not nearly as much vitriol for him.
I got an Eric Gordon jersey.
That's all right. It doesn't hurt anyone's feelings. But that's Eric Gordon's okay.
You're the one. You're the one that got that jersey. Okay. Now we found it. Procter & Gamble, Lance, had to apologize. Apparently, in a Chinese social media post, they said, they claimed that women's feet are 5 times stinkier than men's feet. You, as a guy who likes pretty feet.
Wait, hold on. A social media... Wait, who did this?
On Chinese social... Procter & Gamble. Apparently, they were trying to say, I don't know what they were doing, maybe, hey, women's feet are 5 times stinkier. Why don't you buy our foot powder? Or whatever they
did.
Yeah.
And who they apologized to?
They had to apologize to women. Here's what they said. Women's feet smell 5 times worse than men's. If you don't believe it, smell it. Okay? So, do you think women's feet...
I have pretty feet. I have little boys. I have boys.
You have a little Maddie?
There's no... Yeah, but... And her feet can stink, too, but... It's no. Do you think there's any? First of all, the 5 time thing is no way that that's possible.
It's not possible.
It's just not possible. Period.
No, it's not possible. A man brought in his entire.
You have a lot of these, so bring your A game. Bring the best of the best.
This is it.
That one shouldn't have even qualified.
You like pretty feet. That's why I qualified.
Yeah, but that one wasn't.
Here's another one that has to do with you. What's the most things that you brought to the labor, to the hospital while your wife was in labor?
I mean. Phone and iPad.
That's it?
Well, headphones.
Food? Are you snacks?
No, I don't think I brought
it. You didn't bring anything? Well, how about a man
C-sections
brought...
C-sections go quicker.
How about a man brought his entire gaming console? Do you think...
I don't hate it.
Well...
I don't hate it.
No, you brought your iPad to watch Netflix and whatnot, right? Yeah. He
well,
brought it...
I mean,
he wanted
I had my kids, like... No, I didn't have streaming back then.
You didn't?
I didn't have an iPad back then.
Oh
my
God.
Last kid was 2010.
How did you survive at the hospital while she's moaning and her? Okay, can you please stop with the moaning?
An iPod, I guess.
Yeah, that's it.
My last kid was 11 years ago.
That's a shame. You're gonna have more?
No, it's not a shame.
Now you're gonna have more?
No, I can bring a gaming system.
You can bring your entire gaming system.
I know you could. It's easier to bring it now. Used to be you had to bring a whole desktop.
We're done. How about Monday? We're going to talk about this weekend with the Final Four, how great it's going to be, and everything else that goes on this weekend. Y'all have a great weekend, everybody. Vanessa and Gallant are next right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Menards' 11% rebate is here. From lighting to lumber, from doors to floors. The bigger the project, the bigger the rebate. From painting projects to that new kitchen makeover and designing that outdoor space of your dreams. Save big on any project you're tackling. Hurry into Menards for an 11% rebate on everything. Mail-in rebate is a merchandise credit check, not a point-of-sale discount. Redeemable on future in-store purchases only. Not on future purchases on Menards.com. See store for details.
Save big money at Menards.
With Car Guru's Discover, you can skip the filters and describe what you're looking for in your own words. Simply type what you want, and Car Guru's Discover instantly surfaces real listings that match your exact needs. It's no wonder Car Guru's is the number one most visited car shopping site, according to SimilarWeb's estimated traffic data. Buy or sell your next car today with Car Guru's at CarGurus.com. Go to CarGurus.com to make sure your big deal is the best deal. That's CarGurus.com. CarGurus.com.
Hello, America. It's your new favorite podcast here.
Yes, it's James and Andy, two-fourths of the British podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. We do facts. We do weird facts, fun facts, facts you've never heard before. James, give us a fact.
Did you know you may be able to cure chronically blocked noses with a snot transplant?
Lovely, lovely facts.
If you want to hear us, go to wherever you get your podcasts and search for No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. We'll see you there.